scratching and pecking the ground. Keep this story in mind. Have you ever heard of a can-do attitude? This means a person is confident and believes he can do anything he puts his mind to. The eagle had a cannot-do attitude, which is what we do not want. The Apostle Paul had a can-do attitude. He said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Focus on the words can do. Tonight I want to talk to you about how you can have a can-do attitude. First, you have to know who you are. The eagle didn't know he was an eagle. Do you know who you are? You are a child of God and a Christian. In Matthew 5, verses 13 through 14, Jesus says we are all the salt of the earth and a light on a hill. As Christians, we are supposed to rise above and stand out from the crowd. The second way you can have a can-do attitude is to ignore the negative attitudes around you. The eagle was told by the others that he cannot fly. We are all surrounded by negative attitudes that can bring us down, even if they don't mean to. The last way I'm going to suggest that you can develop a can-do attitude is to get rid of self-doubt. Sometimes we are our own worst enemy. Many people in the Bible had to overcome their own self-doubt to become what God wanted and needed them to be. Jeremiah thought he was too young. Abraham thought he was too old. Isaiah thought he was too bad. Jonah thought he was too good. Moses thought he couldn't speak. And Gideon thought he was too weak. But they all went on to do wonderful things with God as their strength. In conclusion, remember that you can have a can-do attitude that Paul talks about. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Remember who you are. Don't listen to negative attitudes around you. And get rid of self-doubt.
Our next scripture reading will be Romans 12, 9 through 18. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all.
Thank you all for coming out tonight to support our youth group. Let's dive into the lesson. You have many different relationships with people in your life. These relationships matter in your walk with God. Building relationships are an important part of our main goal, which is telling others about Jesus. If you don't build relationships with people, how can you be telling them about Jesus? Tonight we will be talking about three important relationships you need to have in your life. First is with your parents. Ephesians 6:1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the name of the Lord, for this is right. This is a commandment given by God." Matthew 19:19 says, "Honor your father and mother." This relationship is also discussed in the Old Testament. In Exodus 20:12, it says, "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." This verse was a part of the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses. In addition to our parents, we need to have a good relationship with others. This is important so we can tell them about Jesus. As Christians, our main job is to tell others about the hope in Christ. Mark 16:15, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." We can do this at school. We can do this at school by telling others about Jesus. Matthew 19:19 says, after it says, honor your father and mother, it continues by saying, love your neighbor as yourself. Our church family is another important part in our relationship. A few weeks ago, Keith talked to us about the importance of our church family. Also, being a part of the youth group has made a big change in my life. I have been in the youth group now for 2 years, and the friends that I have made have helped keep my relationship with God strong. That leads us to our last point. The most important relationship you will ever have is with God. In Psalms 24:5, it states, they will receive the light, the Lord blessing and have a right relationship with God, their Savior. 2 John 1:9 says, anyone who wanders away from this teaching has no relationship with God, but anyone who remains in the teaching of Christ has a relationship with the Father and the Son. Let's look at examples in the Bible of those who had a good and bad relationship with God. Luke 22:47, it says, while he was walking, there came a crowd, and the man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He drew near Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, why would you betray me with a kiss? Judas had a bad relationship with God. He betrayed Jesus, or he let greed get to him and betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. A lot of things that can cause us to have a bad relationship is satisfying for a little while, but not for eternity. Another example of people who let greed get in the way with their relationship with God was Ananias and Sapphira. Let's look at Acts 5:1-6. It says, but a certain man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own, in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, he fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. Someone who had a good relationship with God was Noah. Turn to Genesis 6:9. It says, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was just a perfect man in his generations. Noah walked with God. Hebrews 11:7, it says, by faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. How do we have a good relationship with God? We can read the Bible every day and obey it. Then you will repent of your sins and you will be baptized so you can go to heaven and worship God. As Christians, we continue our relationship with God through daily prayer and Bible reading. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. How many of you have a relationship with God? Have you been baptized, and are you telling people about God?
The next scripture reading will be from Matthew 7:24-27. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you all for being here tonight. A special thanks to Jake, Jeremy, and the elders for allowing us the opportunity to come up on stage and speak on these fifth Sundays. Also, thank you to the congregation as a whole for always giving us positive feedback. This is such an encouragement to all of us that always get up here and speak. Thank you. Most of you remember the tornadoes and bad storms that came through this area in May of 2020. I would be willing to say even a couple of you experienced some damage from this storm. Multiple houses were blown off their foundations, and telephone poles and trees were ripped out of the ground and blown everywhere. Even the service station just up the road from my house was completely destroyed. I'm sure we have all been there at one point or another where there's a bad storm around your house and you're staying up late at night trying to stay safe while also looking out the window trying to see what's going on outside, obviously. It's human nature for us to have a bad feeling in our stomach when something bad is happening around us. This gut feeling can sometimes come across as fearfulness, the feeling of being uneasy, or even becoming paranoid. Sometimes this comes true, and your life or other people's lives around you change. Sometimes your house can even get damaged or destroyed. More important than this, however, is our spiritual house that we live and grow in each day, and we also get an uneasy feeling about when storms or sin try to tear us down. However, God gives us a surefire measure for us to know that we can stand strong and be confident in our spiritual houses. I would like to take a look firstly at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, which states, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be completely equipped for every good work." First off, this tells us that all scripture in the Bible is from God. Therefore, we know it to be truthful. This scripture also tells us that we need to use the scripture of the Bible for profitable teaching and for training in righteousness so that we may be well equipped for every work. Based on this, we know that we need to live within his scripture and strive to be righteous and follow in his light. Knowing this now, would you all please turn with me to Luke chapter 6, verse 46 through 49, which states, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." I would like to firstly take a look at the latter part of these verses, talking about the one who hears the word but does not respond to the word. As has been told in many children's stories and songs for a long time, we know this person as the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. But have you ever truly thought about what the rock itself is? Or do you ever think about what the scripture is talking about when God talks to us about our house? That is what I'd like to talk to you about some tonight. The latter part of the story talks about a man who has not laid a foundation for his house and does not have a strong house to grow in. The house that Jesus is telling people about within this story, I believe, is referring to our spiritual life and our soul as a person. When we build our house or our spiritual beliefs on the ground, the storms that are capable of bringing us down, when we do not have belief in Jesus, can be seen as sin when we are being tried by Satan. Therefore, we will be torn down and we will no longer be believing. This sin, or as Jesus tells us, the storms, are able to tear down our spiritual houses when we do not build it on the solid rock that is his word. Jesus tells us, however, to be like the man who hears the word and responds to it and listens and follows. For he is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. For if we listen to Jesus' word, follow the directions he has given us to live by, and truly strive to be the best Christians we can be, our house will be strong when the storms test it, and the glory and grace of God will protect us. No matter what kind of struggles or doubts you are facing in your life currently, or you may face in the future, whether some of us may be struggling with recent losses in the family, refraining from using profane language, or we struggle with being a kind Christian neighbor to people around us, no matter what you're struggling with, God's grace and forgiveness will be there to protect our souls when we are tested and tried by the storms of life, as long as we stay true to his word and build our faith upon the rock that is his word. Lastly, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, Simon Peter writes, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity." This verse again shows the reader that our faith needs to be built within Jesus. For if we build our faith in him and grow in his light, we will be granted the gift of eternal salvation. Again, in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7, Paul writes, "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." Once again, these verses tell us as believers in Christ that we need to walk within his guided path and establish our faith within him. I would like to ask everyone tonight to think about the upcoming week. As you go about your day-to-day activities, please try and keep the strong foundation that Jesus asked us to build our house upon at the forefront of your mind. We need to be striving to walk in his light and showing others the love that he has for them through us. For we all fall short of the kingdom of God, but only through his gift of grace, can we be saved. Thank you.
Our last scripture tonight comes from Psalms 139, verses 13 through 17. "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in depths of earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and your books were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them."
How about now? There we go. Thank you, Evate. Sorry about that. Before I close us out, I do want to take a second to thank the young ladies of the youth group for getting here early, for being greeters for us. I hope you all were welcomed with a smile and a warm gesture when you got here. Parents, thank you for participate in that. Young men, appreciate what y'all have done. You did your role with honor and sincerity, and we are thankful for that. And I tell you, I may have to talk to Jake about getting out of closing out the fifth Sundays, because they are setting that bar a little too high for me. I was really impressed with what they did, and while I may have to turn it over to the professionals, let FH or Keith fill in for me. Really did a great job, young men. And church family, you wouldn't know it by how well they conducted themselves, but there were a lot of comments beforehand about how nervous they were, whether it was a prayer or scripture reading. If you can take a second after service, shake their hand, give them a hug, let them know how much it means to you and encourage them. We really appreciate that. And I am so thankful for this youth group and for what they're doing. I like what Knox shared with us. Do we want to be chickens or eagles? And how he drove home that point that it's our attitude that can make a big difference in that. I love what Gideon read in Philippians, that with the right attitude, not having a negative attitude, not complaining and grumbling, we can be lights in a dark world. I loved what Ethan talked about how important our relationships are, about the kind of life that we can have, the kind of life that we can avoid if we focus on our relationships. And what we read in Romans about how we can outdo each other in showing honor. Think about the kind of church family that would be if we take that to heart and we outdo each other in showing honor. And we can be kind and hospitable, and we can live in peace from following God's word. And I appreciate the thoughts that Nolan shared with us about how critical it is to put your life into the foundation of God's word. And to do that, we first have to know his word. If we're going to live by his word, we got to know it. We got to have it in our hearts. So these three things that the young men read to us about and spoke to us, our attitude, our relationships, and God's word, those are important things. Those are critical things. And if you haven't caught on to the theme yet, those are things that matter. But tonight, as I close this out, let me add one more thing to the list of important things. One more thing to the list that matters. You. You matter. You matter to God Almighty. Now, I don't know who needs to hear that, but it's true for each one of us. The creator of everything, the master of the entire universe cares about you. You matter to him. Now, that's not flattery. That's not my opinion. You see, at heart, I'm a businessman. And in business, something is worth what people are willing to pay for it. Now, that can kind of mess with your mind at first when you think about it, but just look at some examples. Think of some examples with me. People buy baseball cards, comic books, famous guitars that they purchase for hundreds or thousands of times the cost of what actually went into that material because it's worth it to them. They're willing to pay a high price for it. Now, it goes the other way. People don't care about how much you've put into something. I remember the first house that Holly and I sold. It was right around the time of the Great Recession, and we had to move for the company, and we had to put it on the market, and in just a short period, the value of that house had gone down. We had to sell it for 6 or 7% under what we just paid for it. People don't care, you know, what I paid for it. They don't care how much was put into it. It was worth what somebody was willing to pay for it. And you see, each one of us were purchased by the blood of God's Son. That's what you're worth to him. Now, we can go to verse after verse where, especially Paul, it seems like a lot, is reminding the churches that they were bought with a great price. It was near and dear to Paul's heart, the sacrifice that was made to grant their salvation. But I want us to think about John chapter 10. Because John chapter 10, Christ is letting people know that he is the good shepherd. He is the Savior. And he says in there several times, nobody took his life. He freely gave it. The Romans didn't take his life. No army in the world, all the armies of all the worlds couldn't take his life. But he gave it because that's how much you matter to him. He is the good shepherd. He died for us. So now tonight, we need to ask ourselves, how much does that matter to us? God gave the very best of heaven to purchase salvation for you on the cross. Does that matter to you? What will you do with that tonight? If you don't have a relationship with him, are you willing to submit to him in baptism? To call him your Savior, the Lord of your life, and to have your sins washed away? Maybe you've done that and you've been part of the church family for a while. and that light that we read about in Philippians, that light that should be coming from your life, has gotten a little dim. It's not shining as bright. It's not helping as many people. You ever been out in the dark when the clouds block the moon or block the stars? It's not a good place to be. And just a little bit of light, if a little bit of light comes through, all of a sudden it makes a huge difference. And you can start to see where you're going. Maybe your light's been hidden by a cloud. And you need to come to this church family and ask for prayers, ask for encouragement. You need to make some things right in your life. Or maybe you're just going through struggles. We all go through struggles, and you just need prayers and you need a hug. This church family is good at both of those things. Whatever your need is tonight, please understand and please remember, you matter. You matter to God. I love Romans chapter 2. He talks about God being long-suffering, God letting people have time to figure out that they need Him so that they can come to Him. And Paul says, you know, He does that so that people will repent and people will come to know Him. And if we neglect that, if we miss that opportunity, we're just building up judgment for ourselves because God gave us more time and we wasted it. Don't waste another second. Whatever your need is tonight, if you'd let us know while we stand and sing.